Here we go.
There's a drive.
Welcome into the drive.
It's all about intensity.
Swing and a drive.
Don't get out tough. Don't let them rain threes on you.
High drive to left field.
That was incredible.
The drive and the two.
I think this team showed their full arsenal.
The drive of the game.
So what? The teams are coming after you. Go after them.
Fully impressed with the team effort.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is
Lon finally hit the irrational button.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Brett Bielema, Illinois football coach. How are you, sir?
Let's go for a little ride.
I'm Lon Say, Derek Piper, sitting alongside and smiling rather largely. So is Trevor Valise in the other room, and not because of the Chicago Cubs, but we can talk about that later. Hey, the Cardinals are on a roll. If we're going to talk about the Cardinals, Pipes, we need to do that, like, in a hurry here, because you got the Mets coming into town. The Cubs, who are struggling, oh, by the way, get the Dodgers. Great. Here comes Walker Buehler. Here comes Clayton Kershaw. And here comes Trevor Bauer in a three-game series at Wrigley. Yeah.
Those are the three that they draw?
Yeah.
Oh, ouch.
I mean, when you're down, you're down, right? It's like, oh, but well, listen, you win two out of three there. You got to feel good. You feel like you steal a couple. But we'll talk plenty of baseball as the week unfolds. We're off a little early tonight for the Cardinals and the New York Mets. Adam Wainwright.
We get DeGrom.
Do we get DeGrom? Okay. He did opt out of the Cubs series, so that was one break the Cubbies got. But they're certainly not getting one in this Dodgers series. Tonight, it's some guy named Luciano or something. I don't know who's throwing for the Mets. It's a long last name that starts
with
an L.
Maybe I'm wrong. I thought, oh, okay, DeGrom tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fine. Bring it, DeGrom. See if you can strike out 12 Cardinals. Oh, wait.
I think that's probably
going to be able to do that.
Doable.
Okay. We're going to get right to the Bears here in a second, because I know you guys are chopping at the bit. I could not be more excited for all of the Bears fans that I know about getting Justin Fields. And the reason I could be excited, because he's not in my division. Now, unfortunately, we play the Bears this year, the Cardinals. But certainly, knowing all of you guys, and I've always said all along, the Bears are kind of my second team. I like when they do well. It's fun for us to talk about. So we're going to talk about the Bears. But real quick, it was Big Ten Championship Sunday, Derek Piper, here in Champaign-Urbana, and two sports that have been wildly successful at the University of Illinois for a long time got it done on Sunday.
They did.
That was cool.
You're probably going to have to fill me in a little bit more, because it was moving day Sunday for me from Champaign to Mahomet.
Not
officially all moved in now.
Not at Augusta.
No.
No, not like
not,
golf.
Not moving day in, oh, that, in okay. that sense, no. But men's golf, another title in Mike Small's trophy case.
Yes.
How about that?
It's incredible, and this team came out with the lead on Sunday and then played horrible in the front nine. And if you read Mike Small's comments on FightingIllini.com, it's that simple. He, you know, Mike Small doesn't shy away from telling you what he thinks. He's also very appreciative and very complimentary of his guys when they do well, and certainly he was. But, you know, they asked him about that front nine. He's like, we were horrible. We couldn't hit a fairway. He's like, the way to win golf is not to hit out of the rough on these kinds of greens. But he did say, he's like, it's a testament to the grit of these kids and everybody. And that's the thing that we're going to visit with in about 10 minutes with Michael Feagles, one of the seniors on this Illinois golf team. In fact, he was just named, I believe the award is for the Big Ten Golfer of the Year, and it's a gentleman's name, and I don't have it in front of me, and I apologize. But Michael Feagles is one of those guys. I actually do have it in front of me. It's the Les Bolstad Award. He's the eighth, I believe, Illinois golfer. Feagles, Danielson, Dietrich, Danielson, Guthrie, DeForest, Lepp, and Stricker. That's a pretty good little stretch there and list of names for Illinois. But essentially, this group, Derek, on the back nine, seized the opportunity and started playing unbelievable golf. And, you know, you can easily sit here and say, ah, oh, well, you know what? Okay, they put it together for nine holes. This is what Illinois golf's all about. It's one of those deals where I'm sure the team that took the lead over Illinois was thinking, we better not get too cocky because we know what this Illinois golf program does. They do not give up. And, of course, this team rallied back. They won their sixth straight Big Ten championship. It's now 11 out of 12 years and 18 total. Mike Small is the best coach. Is he the best coach in Illinois history? If he won a national title, it wouldn't even be close. Craig Tiley has a national title. Justin Spring. I mean, so there's a lot that you can go with the argument. Well, wait a minute. These guys actually won a national title. Mike Small has been so close. But, man, with the consistency that he does at this program, Derek, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's the level of expectation that you have with this program now. They're going to be in the national picture each and every year. They're going to win a Big Ten title. 11 out of 12 is just... That's ridiculous. Like, we sit here and talk, and I know that it's not the same as far as football and basketball and the revenue kind of attention seeking,
no doubt,
or those kind of sports. But we talk about the dominance of Ohio State in football or in basketball with Michigan State, just the consistency. That's what you're seeing in men's golf for Illinois. And that's something that we certainly appreciate and a lot of people around here appreciate. And hey, hats off to Mike for continuing to get top notch talent in that program, developing it. And for them to show up each and every year.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an Ohio State golf fan, I mean, Jack Nicklaus went to Ohio State and has a building named after him. I think the golf building over there where they have their stuff is named after Jack Nicklaus, who, of course, is my favorite golfer. But you look at Ohio State, and if you're a fan of them, you're feeling exactly like some people feel about Ohio State football, where you're just like, okay, I'm tired of them. And I'm sure a lot of people are tired of Illinois. The Illini, by the way, on Wednesday, May 5th, so Wednesday of this week, we'll find out. Listen, they're going to make the regionals, let's be honest, and they'll find out where they go. I know one of the sites is in Indiana, so I assume Illinois would stay in the Midwest and go to that site, but we'll wait and see how they seed it. But again, Illinois will find out on Wednesday. We can ask Michael Feagles about that. And again, we're going to talk to him at 4:20. Well, by the way, speaking of Ohio State, they do have a pretty dominant tennis program. And guess who just told them, you're pretty good, but you're not as good as us. And that's the Illinois men's tennis team under Brad Dancer. They win the Big Ten title this weekend. I saw a tweet from Jeremy Warner. You were moving. I was in Jacksonville watching baseball. And I saw a tweet from Jeremy Warner that said Brad Dancer was crying after this. So you knew... Or you know that means a lot with Zeke Clark and this crew to go out and win that Big Ten championship. And listen, again, another program that continuously shows up. I mean, they beat a number one seed earlier this year. They obviously have what it takes to win a Big Ten title and to do some damage when the postseason rolls around. But to get another Big Ten title under Brad Dancer's belt and this tennis program's belt, I mean, why not? Is there enough room in Atkins? The good news is it's a big place. So they're going to find room for another championship banner.
Another awesome proud stuff. Program.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to learn their NCAA regional location and seating. Selection show is today, 5:30 Central.
Oh, sweet. Okay. So we will hopefully by the end of the show today, we'll try to remember that, to follow that along to see where the Illinois men's tennis team is seated when the postseason rolls around. But congrats again to both of those. We're going to effort to get Brad Dancer on this week. Mike Small we have on quite a bit. So, and you know these guys like Dancer and Small, they'd rather the kids come on. They're like, listen, talk to them. They're the ones doing the work. So that's why we're going to get Michael Feagles on at 4:20. I'm excited to talk to him, the Scottsdale native. Imagine that. You're in Scottsdale, Arizona, growing up, and you decide to come to the University of Illinois golf program. You don't think you've got a little cachet? I mean, and he was one of the best golfers in the country coming out of high school. So that tells you what people think of this Illinois program. Who are we? We're not telling anybody that. Everybody that's an Illini fan understands that. I saw Lance Ringler, our buddy with Golf Week. We might be able to have him on maybe later this week to talk about some of these regionals and maybe ask him about the regional Illinois in. In fact, I'm looking at Trevor right now to remind me. We'll get Lance Ringler on maybe Thursday or Friday to talk about that and kind of analyze the region that Illinois golf is able to get into. Okay, we got about 6 minutes, but we got the rest of the show, I promise. Aaron Lemming, writer for the Bear Report, who was very nice to join us on Friday, talk about the Chicago Bears. We are going to talk a lot about the Chicago Bears draft, and we can talk a little bit about the NFL draft in general. Things all got screwy at pick three with Trey Lance. And once that happened, you thought, uh-oh, here we go. Although it kind of evened back out with Kyle Pitts at four. So you're thinking, okay, maybe we're getting back on. And then, no, everything just
started. The Bengals
didn't
listen to you at five. They took Jamar Chase.
So I hope that doesn't burn him. That's to Detroit's credit. They get Penei Sewell. What did you guys I want both of you to react here. We got about 5 minutes before Michael Fiegel.
Oh, there's not enough time.
In fact, let's start with Trevor because he's going to have to answer the phone when Michael Fiegel calls in. But, Trevor, when it happened and all of a sudden you see the Bears are trading up, what were you thinking? I mean, you knew what was going to happen, but what was going through your mind?
I was awaiting the inevitable disappointment of – because, as you pointed out, Trey Lance was sort of the swing, I think – him over Mac Jones was the swing that things were going to get crazy, maybe, because even though he had swayed into becoming the favorite in the past 24 hours before he was drafted, that was sort of the domino to fall that, yes, that would set off the rest. And when that happened, I thought, okay, well, they've got a chance. It's sort of like when you're watching an NBA draft lottery when they're picking the balls.
Oh, yeah.
And the longer it goes without your team's ball being picked, you're thinking, hey, they could get up into the top four.
Whoa.
So as every pick progresses and you're seeing Cincinnati take a wide receiver and then the Dolphins take a wide receiver and then Sewell goes off the board and you know that two quarterbacks go in the top 10, which was not expected. And then all of a sudden, basically, to just – because Dallas trades down at first.
Oh, that's right.
And the Eagles trade up to get DeVonta Smith. So I thought that was where the Bears were striking, because it said Dallas is trading. Schefter tweeted Dallas is trading out of the 10 spot, and then it's not the Bears, and I'm like, ah, crap. And then you make your move one pick later, and I was just elated.
Elated, and we're going to get more from Trevor because the phone is ringing. We believe this will be Michael Fiegel's Illinois senior golfer. And Derek, real quick, fill me in before we get your we'll find out your thoughts on this as we go along. But what did the Bears do now to move up? I was so like mesmerized by DeVonta Smith going off the board because I wanted Arizona to get him so bad that I kind of just lost track. And then all of a sudden I'm like, wait, the Bears are picking Justin Fields. What's going on? Who did they have to give up? What did they have to get up for him?
They had to give up next year's first round pick and then a later mid round pick. I believe it was their fourth round. They ended up dishing as well. So you end up swapping spots, going from 20 up to 11.
And they traded with?
The Giants.
Giants, that's right. That's right. Okay, well, what a job.
It was a memorable night for me. I hope it's something that we'll remember fondly, but I'm finally thinking positively about the Bears again. I don't know. I sat on this all week. It's a shame we weren't on Friday to be able to react.
That's right.
Fresh in my mind, but
I forgot we were off Friday. Yeah, because that was Thursday night that happened. So are you feeling a little bit better about Ryan Pace? And
I don't know about that.
Well, we will get to. I'll tell you one guy who was maybe looking at the Arizona Cardinal draft like I was. That would be Michael Fiegels. What's up, Michael?
Hey guys, how are you?
You're a big Cardinals fan, right? Coming from Scottsdale.
I mean, we haven't had much to cheer about, but I am.
Oh, okay, now hold on. In your lifetime, they've been to a Super Bowl. In my lifetime, they've been to one Super Bowl as well, Michael, so we're even, man. They've had a lot more to cheer about in your lifetime.
True. That was a pretty great year.
That's funny. All right, Michael Fiegels, Illinois men's senior golfer. Michael, I mean, what, 11 out of 12, six straight? You've never not won a Big Ten championship golf tournament. I know this one will be memorable. I know they're all memorable, but this one is probably one that I know that you guys don't allow doubt to come into your mind, and you can't in that sport, or it'll just chew you up. But at one point during that round, did you think, oh, man, this isn't going to happen?
I mean, to be completely honest, like it felt that way the majority of the round. It was just like, I didn't really know exactly what was going on, but you can kind of see a hole ahead and a hole behind, and you kind of get a vibe out there. And I was like, man, Iowa seems like they're playing good, and we seem like we're not. And then, I mean, a huge testament to Coach. Gio made eagle on 11, and he got that word to all of us as soon as he could. And it kind of lit a spark within the entire team, and that's kind of when everything changed.
Michael, what is that like in a team setting in golf when you're able to kind of rally together in that sense and be able to realize, hey, we can make a run down the stretch here in the back nine to be able to secure that title?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like it. There's nothing in when we compete individually that even comes close to comparing to it. just being able, especially because, you know, in these big golf tournaments, usually the pace of play is kind of slow. So you're sitting in the fairway, you're watching your teammate in front of you, you can kind of see behind you, and you can really, like, be engaged with what's going on throughout almost the entire team. So to kind of look ahead and see guys making putts and throwing fist pumps, and you can kind of, it just recharges everyone, you know, gets everyone fired up. So to then just kind of put our heads together and, no, you know, we didn't have our best stuff by any means this week, and we were able to pull it through is awesome.
What maybe wasn't working earlier on in Sunday with the course? Was the course playing tough, or what changed then, and then to flip the switch later on in that round?
Oh man, I don't know. I just know we weren't hitting it very straight. I know that.
I know that too.
I can relate to that.
I saw some guys just in some horrible places, and that course is very penalizing if you don't hit it in the fairway, and the rough was thick and long, and it was hard to get balls even to the green sometimes. So I think everyone just kind of narrowed their focus on that back nine and really got engaged with what was going on, and realizing, you know, we need to turn this around, or else we're gonna lose. And it was almost like reality set in, like, man, if we don't change something right now, it's going to be a long car ride home. So luckily we, you know, everyone put their head together, and, you know, coach said before the final round, he was like, we need all five guys to show up and play solid. And, you know, at the end of the day, we had a 71, 72, 73, 73, 74. So it was really good team combined effort.
Well, and Michael Feagles, by the way, is our guest, Illini senior golfer. You can follow him on Twitter. It's at DAFEAGS, DaFeags. That's where you follow him. I mean, Michael, I was going to ask you that. You're a professional now. You're leading right into questions. That's how good you are. But, you know, it takes a team. We all know that. It takes a team. But truly, on that back nine, everybody did something spectacular for this team to win that tournament.
Yeah, 100%. I had a bunch of people send me an article by Robert Rosenthal this morning, and he kind of pieced all of that together. Because we kind of talked about it after the round, but you can't see what everyone's doing, or you're not going to hear about what everyone did. He kind of laid out basically what everything that happened. And I read through that, and I was like, wow, like, guys were getting up and down from everywhere. There was a bunch of Mongolian reversals, and, you know, it looked like Iowa was going to make a birdie, and we were going to make a bogey, and we have the hole in pars, and, yeah, I mean, it was completely a total team effort, and I think it just speaks volume for the grit and the determination of this team.
Okay, I like to be cool, so what is a Mongolian reversal? Sounds like a wrestling move.
It's I mean, I didn't know what it was until I got to college, and coach uses it all the time, so I kind of caught on. But I guess it's basically when, like, the tables have turned. So, like, when they use it a lot in match play. Like, a guy will hit it to 15 feet for birdie, and a guy will miss the green, and then he'll chip in, and the guy that hit it on the green,
Ooh. Putting
for birdie, misses, and then all of a sudden you look like you're about to win the hole, and then you lose the hole. That kind of thing.
Got it.
Those around the Big Ten have been waiting for a Mongolian reversal when it comes to this Big Ten championship picture here recently.
That's awesome.
Lon mentioned already, six consecutive for the program, 11 out of 12. We know how in football it's Ohio State, and basketball it's Michigan State. For it to be in golf, are there other players out there that say, hey, man, we're kind of tired of you guys?
I mean, you kind of get a vibe on the 18th green around when it seems like the majority of the crowd is pulling for another team. But no, they've never said it vocally.
That's awesome. I can imagine Illinois gets it done again. I mean, that's 18 now, and 11 out of 12 years for this team. What does a day like Sunday, and it seems like, as I've covered this program for the last 10 years on this radio show, it not all the time, but it seems like sometimes something like Sunday will happen as the postseason draws near. And I can remember, you know, asking Dylan Meyer or guys before him the question of, what can you take from something that happens Sunday when it looks like absolutely bleak, when you're playing out of the rough the entire day, it seems like, and it just is a bleak thing to even think about winning a title, to then winning it. What can that do for the confidence of this team now with NCAA regionals coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. It takes a takes the confidence of the team up a whole nother notch. You know, we came out this spring and we were playing really good. We were playing great golf collectively. Everyone was really on point, focused, determined, fundamentals in place, just playing really good. And we go down to LSU and I mean, we played on point pretty much all week and we beat up on an entire SEC field early in the year for us too, which is hard for us to do. We haven't been outside. We haven't been playing much. And come this time of year, usually that's going on now.
Right.
We're starting to get outside. We're starting to play more golf. Usually things are starting to really click. It hit earlier this year and we've kind of hit a lull a little bit the past couple weeks. But you know, we went down to Ohio State, we won there. We went to the Big Tens, we won there. So just to be able to kind of come home, get our minds straight, reflect on this tournament and be like, hey, we still aren't playing our best and we're winning golf tournaments. Mm. So let's take this next week and a half. Let's get back to what we do and, you know, at least refresh the batteries and then go down to regionals and let's be on point and go win another one.
Amen, buddy. You know, Michael Feagles, you and Small and these guys, you know, you're making it hard to believe now anymore that it's hard to win in the North. I mean, literally, I hear that all the time, how teams in the North, you know, it's snowing here and everybody in Florida is out playing. But then I see Illinois dominate all the time. You guys are hurting yourself here.
I know, right? We're kind of ruining the reputation.
Right.
Michael, you took home the Les Bolstad Award for the lowest season average stroke-wise in the Big Ten. You're one of eight in Illini history to do that. You see a list on there, Steve Stricker's name. That's good company for you. What does that mean to join him and to take that home?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great honor. The list of guys that have won that are very respectable and guys who have done a lot of great things in professional collegiate golf. So I was definitely honored to win that. I think it just speaks volumes to, you know, my preparation and my consistency throughout the year and just, you know, each and every week trying to bring, you know, a solid and respectable score to every round that I'm representing Illinois for.
So Wednesday on the Golf Channel.
Yeah, baby.
May 5th, 1 p.m. Central, you'll find out where you'll be playing in the region. Is that feeling still cool when you get selected? I know you've been there before, but what is that like when you watch that on the screen? And what do you think is key going forward with the guys?
Yeah, our entire goal starting early, kind of just between the guys and I, were, you know, let's be a top six team in the country and be a one seed and then go to Indiana and play at Sagamore. We had a couple hiccups throughout the year that I think are going to put us at a two seed. But yeah, I mean, just sitting there and we all kind of get together at the facility and have like a little selection party thing. It never gets old, you know, seeing Illinois pop up on the screen and, none of us really know exactly where we're going. You can kind of try to figure it out.
Right.
A couple of our guys could probably figure it out, but that's way above my pay grade. I'm as shocked as everyone watching. So it's awesome, you know, just you can never take being a part of NCAA golf and postseason play for granted. So, we're excited, we're thrilled, and we're ready to get back competing soon.
I know we're not supposed to look ahead, but let me ask you, if it is Sagamore, fill me in on that course. It's Sagamore, Indiana, I believe. Fill me in on that course. Does that course play similar to Crooked Stick? Or, I mean, what are some thoughts on what that course will present for Illinois golf fans?
I wish I could. I've never been there.
Okay.
I just know they were there, I think the year before I got there, they were there for regionals and they won regionals there. So coach has been there, which is always key. You know, if coach has been there, it's a huge step for us in our preparation and, you know, the way he sets up practices and how he has us prepare basically just gives us kind of a upper hand on the field, just being able to prepare the correct way for the golf course. No, go ahead.
Well, I totally interrupted you, and that's so unprofessional. My fault, Michael Feagles. But I had a thought, Michael, and I'm so old, when I get one, I got to throw it out. So all the time we hear about your practice facility, that it's maybe the best one in the country. And, you know, you see it. Like, I've seen drones over it, and I've seen the layout of that thing. I've driven by it 100 times. And there's so many different things that you can do out there. I think that's what makes it one of the best, if not the best, in the country. So when you're talking about how Coach Small knows all about this Sagamore course, but a guy like you and the rest of your teammates don't, is that, like, take me inside the mind game of a practice this week. Will Coach Small maybe get you in spots out on that practice facility that you will see at Sagamore, or is that getting a little too much?
No, absolutely. That's exactly what he does. Like, for instance, when we were preparing for Ohio State, or when we're always, every year we're preparing for Isleworth, with kind of high, you know, tiered greens with several tiers, and then fall offs on the sides. We have a green at our facility that basically has a couple tiers and fall offs on the sides. And we coach sets up like short game challenges for us to go through during practice. And it's basically without us really realizing, like, we're hitting shots just throughout the day that we're going to have in a week or whatever our next tournament is. So it's his way of just having a very productive, focused practice that's also working on our fundamentals and working on the things we need to work on, but also kind of getting our mind, all right, like, how am I going to hit this shot? Like, putting ourselves in that tournament a week before.
That's very cool, man. All right, Michael Feagles, being a senior, you and Gio, what is senior leadership like on this Illinois men's golf team? I know it's just every era has seniors that just pick it up and get it done. And of course, you came back for another year, which was huge for this Illinois golf program. And I know you, I read an article, said that it was going to be huge for you and your individual improvement going forward for your professional career. But what does a senior do this week for the rest of the guys?
Oh, man. I think, you know, I'm pretty lucky. This team is very, I want to say, mature,
yeah.
But also very, you know, self-determined. And it's almost like a bunch of just seniors,
right.
Honestly.
Right.
Like a guy like Adrian, like I don't have to do anything. Like, I don't have to tell Adrian anything. He does everything right. He prepares the perfect way. Like, I basically just get out of that kid's way and just let him go, you know? Basically, as, like, a senior on this team, my role is basically just be, like, a big brother for these guys.
Yep.
You know, just be kind of the support on the side that they need. And, you know, if they ever have questions about, you know, tournaments or what it, like, the feeling, like Jerry.
Yep.
Our young guy, Jerry G, had never played in a Big Ten championship going into this weekend. And, you know, he's a sophomore now, but obviously with COVID last year and cancellations, I feel like he's been around for forever, but I realize he's never been to a Big Ten championship. So just being like a kind of like a big brother for him and kind of putting him on my back and being like, all right, well, let's go. You know, here we go. Enjoy this one. You're going to never forget your first one. So just trying to be that sort of role model for them. And, you know, I've made all the mistakes. So just trying to help them not do the things I did.
If you only knew my mistakes, Michael. You know, and the other thing, and you know this from playing in this program, the thing that you don't even have to say anything about is the fact that these guys all have confidence knowing Michael Feagles is going to go do his job. And that's probably the best thing about being a senior. Like, when you were young and you knew the seniors on that team, you knew when regionals rolled around or the Big Ten championship rolled around, you knew where they'd be at the end of 254, right? And that's one of the things that is probably the best, like, doesn't even have to be said. These guys know. Michael Feagles, he's going to post a great score. Now we just got to do our job. That's probably the coolest thing about it.
Yeah, I mean, I hope. I've got a ton of confidence in them, and I hope they have the same in me. You know, what's great about this sport is, you know, any given day, it's fragile. It's sure. Very fragile. But, you know, the way we prepare and the way we practice and the way we push each other, every time we get to a tournament, you know, we believe the guy next to us can go win the tournament. And I think that's what's made this program so prestigious. And our success has been due to phenomenal coaching,
yep.
Great facilities, and a belief in one another that we can any given week, any guy can win.
I love it. And I know you guys feel it, but I mean, when I talk to Illini fans, it can be a tailgate on a Saturday before an Illini football team or a game, and you guys will come up, the golf team. And I'm not kidding you. The pride that Illinois Nation has in this golf program is just incredible. I hope you guys know that. All right, we've kept you way too long, and I know the answer to this because I read it once, but we had a text in the show on the U of I Illini Link text line that said, is Michael Feagles related to ex-Arizona Cardinal punter Jeff Feagles? I know that answer. Is it an uncle?
Yeah, it's my uncle. That's my dad's brother.
Got it. Okay, there you go. Well, then you've got to be a Cardinals fan, Michael.
Yeah, of course. He wasn't there long, though.
I was going to say, he had a long career in the NFL and a great career. There's no doubt about it. Michael Feagles, thank you so much for your time today, and congratulations and good luck. We'll all be watching to see where you go on Wednesday. And, of course, Illini Nation's got your back, man, when it comes to regionals and beyond. So thanks again, buddy, and good luck.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate the time.
All right, buddy. Michael Feagles, Illinois senior golfer. I mean, what a perfect interview. Incredible.
Pretty darn good.
I mean, it's incredible how good these athletes are when it comes to, especially when they get to like fifth year. I mean, man, they know the questions you're going to ask before you ask it. I mean, he was leading into things, knowing what we're going next. It's amazing what this team is. And I'm being honest when I say I wasn't trying to just make him feel good. Illinois fans love this program. The idea that, like you said earlier, how you compare it to the Ohio State of football and where we want to be with our football program and such, the idea that you are that team, you show up at a golf tournament in orange and blue, and everybody's like, oh, crap, their van made it. It didn't run out of gas. You know, I mean, seriously, that's the respect that these guys get. They're all wonderful young men. And you know the best thing about that interview, Derek, that you don't even realize?
What's that?
And I think I hope Coach is listening because he loves when his players come on. I think the best thing about that interview, we didn't say one great thing about Mike Small. And he deserves, we could go on for 10 straight hours about how good Mike Small is. We didn't even have to do that. That's how good this team is, and that's how impressive all these players are. And we all know that Mike Small is an absolute stud. So it was great to talk to Michael Feagles, and, man, that's just cool. I love being able to talk about this Illinois men's golf team. And for 10 years on this radio show, I've talked about a Big Ten championship golf team, minus COVID. But I've never not on this program talked about Illinois finishing anywhere but first in the Big Ten Tournament Championship.
That's incredible.
That's sick. That's amazing. Well, listen, I'll make a deal. If they keep winning, I'll keep doing the show. I don't know. I better not do that with Coach Small. He'll be doing this for 20 years. I'll be like, all right, Coach, enough, man. I want to get out of here and
it's 1 year off so I can get out of here.
Right. Everybody wants me out, but this is Coach Small's fault. Great stuff with Michael Feagles. That was really fun. All right, we got to take a break. We're long overdue for a break. When we come back, I'm going to give you guys all the time you want to talk about the Chicago Bears and what happened Thursday night. I also want to know about the rest of the draft. I know Craig texted in on the U of I Illini Link text line and asked, what does Piper and know about the other picks of the Bears, especially the running back? Well, we can talk about that, but again, we've got Aaron Lemming coming up as well at 5:05, writer for the Bear Report, who can break that down as well as we go along. And by the way, we want to thank the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. That is the phone line that you heard Michael Feagles on, and we'll use that phone line again, the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line, to visit with Aaron Lemming at 5:05. Quick break. We're back. It's The Drive.
Salon 105 in Muhammad is the premier upscale hair salon in the area. If you've got someone in your life who's looking for a fresh style, send them over to one of the amazing stylists at Salon 105. But don't take my word for it. Here's owner Kelsey Briggs.
You should send your wife or your girlfriend or just a friend in. Let them know you're thinking about them. Send them in here. We'll make them feel real good. Get your hair done. Try a new look, a new style. Feel fresh. We can do that for you.
Check them out online for details. Salon-105.com.
Summer is right around the corner. Make sure to stop into Game Day Spirit this spring and check out their great selection of Illini merchandise. Shop polos, tanks, crops, tees, and more, all from great brands such as Tommy Bahama, Champion, and Nike. With new styles arriving daily, there's something for every Illini fan. Shop at Game Day Spirit at the corner of Neil and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campustown, or 24/7 online at GameDaySpirit.com.
Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
When your car breaks down, you realize just how much you need it. And when it breaks down, Beaumont Alignment Plus steps up. For routine maintenance like brakes, oil changes, tune-ups, batteries, and tires, you can count on Beaumont Alignment Plus. Bigger issues, including alignment, suspension work, starters, alternators, transmission, require specialists. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. It's good to know the quality service is still affordable at Beaumont Alignment Plus.
Hi, it's Diane Ducey with my friends at Profile by Sanford, helping with a 50-plus weight loss. And with the weather getting nicer and people getting outside and feeling more active, but maybe you don't have the energy because of your weight. After starting with Profile, I've got more energy. My body feels a lot better on getting that movement in. Profile by Sanford can help you with the meals and snacks and to keep you on that healthy path for a lifetime. Go to ProfilePlan.com.
Are you ready to feel the difference with Matex Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical? Matex is the top-rated, most trusted, and most trained residential and commercial service provider in Central Illinois. For nearly 30 years, thousands of customers have made Matex their top choice for their HVAC, plumbing, and electrical needs. With locations in Champaign, Monticello, and Mattoon, Matex will provide the 24/7 emergency service or installation you need. Visit MattexService.com to book your appointment today. Matex, feel the difference.
Hi, Ellen Hook here, owner of your local Ashley Home Store. Ashley Home Store's lowest prices of the season are here. For a limited time, get your choice of comfort on select Ashley Sleep and Sealy mattresses starting at just $299. Or get 0% interest for 72 months on Tempur-Pedic and Beautyrest Black mattresses starting at $24 per month. Plus, get up to $300 in Ashley cash or receive up to a $200 MasterCard rewards card. Only at the number one Tempur-Pedic retailer in North America. Ashley Home Store, located at 602 West Anthony Drive, Champaign. This is home.
This is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you're looking for a top-of-the-line air conditioner, think Amana. We carry all sizes and offer expert installation. ABC Heating and Air Conditioning is locally owned, and we've been in business for 50 years, and for 50 years, the only brand we've sold is Amana. So go with a company that is local, dependable, and will be there for you no matter what time of day or night. ABC, always be comfortable. Let us install your new Amana air conditioner. Visit www.abcheatingandac.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Max Kellerman. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Okay. If I can just delay another 10 seconds here, we will have gone 43 minutes without me just bringing up the idea. And we did have a caller to talk to Trevor about it off the air. It's The Drive, by the way, with Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise in as well. We're going to talk some Chicago Bears. We've got Aaron Lemming, writer for the Bear Report, coming up at 5:05. Illinois basketball. We had it on You had it on Thursday that Orlando Antigua had told Illinois that he's out of here. He's taking off for Kentucky. And then I know you had mentioned that day that Chen Coleman was going to meet with Illinois with Josh Whitman, Brad Underwood, on Friday or Saturday to kind of figure out his path. But unfortunately, that path looks like it's leading to Lexington as well.
It does, yes. As far as I've heard, Chen told Brad over the weekend that he is also going to Kentucky.
Okay.
Kentucky's job postings, they have two of them out there, obviously two openings. Those close today, so I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow we start to hear official word coming from that program or Illinois with a send-off. But right now, it's just reports that have been out there. But, yeah, Chen Coleman is going to go to Kentucky.
Well, I'll tell you this, and it's a hard pill to swallow. We understand that. We've diagnosed that for plenty of hours on the show. But I do appreciate what Orlando Antigua and Chen Coleman, what they were able to do to get this Illinois program back in the top 10, to get it where it's at. I don't think, unless there's a mass exodus, which we hope doesn't happen via the players, I think this program's in good shape for the next few years, and now you just kind of pick up the pieces, figure out what other assistants will fit well with Brad Underwood and Steve Gentry, and figure out how you keep it rolling. But, you know, certainly if you can step back through the hatred, and I don't think anybody's hateful, but certainly we're very disappointed, and it hurts because you think that you sit there and think, all right, Kentucky just won 9 games. Illinois went into the NCAA tournament basically as the number 2 ranked team in the country and a 1 seed. So why the hell are they going to Lexington? But you don't have to be very old to understand what Kentucky basketball has meant for many years. It's a blue blood. And, you know, unfortunately, you still don't care. You still are disappointed in that. But I think it's cool to think the idea that, I mean, these two coaches did yeoman work to get this program where it's at now and where Illinois fans expect it to be.
Yeah, very, very responsible for where you were at this past season and where they're going, you know, in the future in terms of who they were able to bring in. And it is disappointing and still shocking at the thought of being a 1 seed and then having 2 assistants leave your program. And again, if they were both going to get head coaching jobs, and be like, yeah, that kind of makes sense as far as where Illinois was at when they took over. They build it up, they bring in the talent, they show that they are able to, that they're hot commodities, of course, and then they're out. And as Brad has talked about, he would be extremely proud and happy to lose those guys to head coaching jobs, but to lose 2 assistant spots,
that's where you can get mad, right?
Yeah, especially 2 to the same place.
Yeah.
And what's kind of ironic about it, as I've been thinking, Orlando and Chin, who went out and got, and that's not to take away from Brad, but they were the lead recruiters for Io, for Kofi, for Felice, and on down the line for Curbelo and Miller.
Yep.
Some of these guys, and not that all had, you know, Kansas, Kentucky offers, but they're out recruiting saying to a guy like Io, you don't need to go to Kansas. You don't need to go to Kentucky. You can stay right here at Illinois and do big things. They did big things.
Yeah.
But then those guys leave and go to Kentucky.
Ah.
And as we talked a lot about, O has a lot of ties to Kentucky being there. He was there for 5 years, another additional year with Cal at Memphis. His daughter went to Kentucky. So there was that natural pull, I think, to bring him back there.
Sure.
For Chin, you're more disappointed that you weren't able to keep him. And we'll see. Brad's definitely going to need 2 big time, in my opinion, 2 big time recruiters to fill those spaces, because that's just kind of the natural makeup of what the staff was, is that was their role. Their role was to go out there and to build the relationships and to have the ties. And that's important in terms of winning in college basketball. You can have a great culture. You can have a great coach. You can have analytics, X's and O's. You need ins into AAU programs, high school scenes, and all that to be able to get players and win. That's what Illinois was able to do with those 2 guys here. That's what they need going forward.
Don't laugh at this, but I'm about ready to sneeze, so I got to turn these mics. So just hold on a second. Okay, sorry. That was a weird thing. I don't know that I've ever had that before. So in terms of going forward now, I know we talked all about on Thursday, the gentleman from Rantoul, I'm going to let you say his name because I can't say it.
Mike Miniga.
Miniga, okay.
The third N you don't pronounce because there's M-E-N-N-E-N.
Yeah, it looks like Meninga or something, that you would throw the N before the G. And yeah, Miniga.
Mike Miniga.
Okay, so you've got him as someone. He's at Oregon. Has, of course, from Rantoul, of course, would have ties to the area. Anybody else that Illinois would be looking at or that you know of?
You'd be looking at Roger Powell.
Yeah.
I just don't expect that to ultimately materialize from Illinois' standpoint. And we kind of broken that down, so we don't need to go too in-depth there. But an Illinois alum that has had some buzz here in the last couple of days is Chester Frazier.
Okay.
So he's the associate head coach, essentially the top assistant at Virginia Tech. Spent, I think, 6 seasons with Bruce Weber at Kansas State. So he has a lot of high major experience.
Got it.
I heard that Brad, it's funny, I'll full disclosure, someone on our message board spotted Brad and Chester Frazier at a brunch spot in Chicago, and they were meeting on Saturday. So that was where the information comes from. I'll give the credit to that. I won't try to sit here and say that I heard it through the grapevine or anything. That's where it came from and originated.
That's awesome.
But so he's someone clearly that Illinois is taking a look at. And I think it's hard for me to sit here and I'll tell you, I don't know as far as his resume in terms of recruiting, especially. I think that's something that fans would want to know or wonder about with Chester. Even when he was a player, the fact that it was pretty clear that he was going to have a coaching future.
Yes.
His leadership,
yep.
The way he knew the game. I know that he's been very dialed in defensively, and you lose Chin, who was running that defense Ooh. Last year. I think that could be a good fit to replace him. And just his makeup, his toughness, and that kind of deal, I think that fits with Brad Underwood. So I would understand why there'd be interest there. And then, of course, you know, being a former player.
Yeah, he was tough, and that's how I see Brad Underwood. I like that comparison there. And I think Chester Frazier would bring a lot of little intangibles to the program. Now, you got to have a recruiter. And I don't know. I haven't studied Frazier to see how he's recruited at Kansas State, how he recruited at Virginia Tech. But those two programs, while he was there, have had a lot of success. So, I mean, you know, whether that's directly on him or partially on him, we'll have to see. But certainly that'd be a former Illini coming in if that ended up happening. And kudos to the message board dude that spotted him at the brunch site.
And speaking of Chicago, there will be a decision to make in terms of the way I look at it. How, I don't know if landlocked is the right word, but how focused will you be on having a Chicago guy?
Okay.
Because Chin was that.
Yep.
And you knew, we've talked about the importance of the state and just the fertile recruiting ground of Chicago. Will you, in your hiring process, say we need someone that has either experience recruiting there or is flat out from there
okay.
to be able to go in and recruit that area? Or will you not necessarily think that is the case? There would be differing opinions on how important that would ultimately be.
Well, there's another C word that I like because of Mike Meninga, and that's Canada.
There you go.
Canada's hot right now, man. Take advantage.
They've been hot for a while.
For a long time, yeah. Like, right now would not be the right way to say that. Okay. Trevor Valise is back. I totally stole time from you, and even now we only have like 5 minutes. But at least both of you can give me your reaction. Let's start with you, Pipes. When you finally see the Chicago Bears select Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State, what was that like?
It was incredible. I've waited a long time to say some positive words about the Chicago Bears on this radio station. I saw it out of the corner of my eye. I was unpacking my kitchen, saw out of my peripheral the trade up, the Bears show. I had no expectation.
Yeah.
And they've robbed this expectation from me, the expectation that they're going to do something that I would agree with, or something that would be right by the franchise. For them to trade up, I felt like, and then I was worried they're going to pick Mac Jones. Not that Mac Jones is a bad quarterback.
No, I get it.
Fields was my guy, my dream. I sat here on our mock draft, and I took him at 20, even though he was taken at 9 in our
you
mock draft. I
you
said,
totally
we're going to get, we're getting Justin Fields. That's my dream. Justin Fields was the second pick in the draft, in my opinion. That's where he should have gone.
Okay.
After that performance against Clemson, he throws for darn near 400 yards and 6 touchdowns. He didn't have a great performance in the Big Ten championship game against Northwestern. Didn't play great against Indiana either, but he's been a 2-year stud at Ohio State.
Yes.
Threw for a bunch of touchdowns, ability to run, can throw the deep ball. I was on one knee, prayer hands together, Fields, Fields, Fields. I react, like, just kind of black out and just have that reaction. I later asked my fiance, what was, from your perspective, how did I react? She said, you were more excited for that than when we got engaged or when we bought a house. So if that gives you any kind of indication, there, I'll just stare off randomly in the day and be like, we got Justin Fields. I'll just sit there and smile.
Not that I'm marrying her.
Right.
It's that we
I am very internally happy about that.
Well, yes, you should be. You've got a great great fiance. That's so funny,
we
though.
We finally got a guy, though.
Listen, that's an honest answer from you, and that's what I was looking for, and that's awesome. All right, Trevor, you had started to mention this. When Trey Lance went 3, in my mind, I then said the Bears are going to get Mac Jones. I didn't think that you would trade up. I didn't think that would happen. I thought for sure when Trey Lance went 3 that Mac Jones was going to drop to the Bears, but then you still trade up and you get Justin Fields. Were you on a knee praying?
I was not on a knee. I was on Twitter refreshing as fast as I could because I didn't mind it being spoiled for me if someone tweeted it out beforehand because I just needed to know.
Yes.
At the point where you saw that they had traded up, that was then when the secondary fear kicked in that they were going to choose Mac Jones over Justin Fields with the trade-up pick.
That would kind of be Bears.
Not that, I mean, look.
Exactly. No, and listen, Mac Jones might end up being,
I mean, this was a guy that might have gone 3rd, so yeah. I'm not saying I would have been like, everything is a disaster, but, I mean, again,
yeah,
nothing physically changed with Justin Fields from halfway through the college football season where they were talking about Trevor Lawrence's COVID. Does Justin Fields go number one overall to the Jaguars now?
Yep.
Nothing.
No.
He actually outplayed Fields. Mm-hmm. He played with a broken rib in that game. And now he's like falling to 11th. And there was just all these stories like, well, he's not the last one to leave the facility. And then that dropped him a few spots.
Right.
And it's like,
right.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Like everything I read about
him. I care about Sunday.
PFF, Pro Football Focus, gave the Bears an A+. They said Fields is maybe the second best quarterback in this class. I just, when you zoom out, because everyone had been conditioned to think like, okay, Zach Wilson second, Mac Jones might be third, Fields is going to fall. But zoom out and ask yourself why.
Exactly.
Because if you look at this, what if I told you halfway through or at the end of the college football season that the Bears, who finished 8-8, stuck in this weird purgatory, scored like no points against the Saints but made the playoffs, would get Justin Fields?
No, I wouldn't have.
I would have thought they would have had to trade up to two.
Exactly.
And whatever, they lost, I think, like a second and a fifth for, or a first and a fifth for next year. But the, whatever, this is your franchise quarterback. And I just am elated that they actually did it.
If you had never seen a mock draft or heard any reports, Mac Jones went where Mac Jones should have went.
Amen. Amen.
All right. And of course, the Patriots, by the way, don't even need to trade up to get him.
No. Oh, it all falls
to
Bill.
Falls right to them at 15.
Falls to Bill.
And then the Bears, which Trubisky traded up from 3-2, gave up too much for that, then take a guy who was a one-year starter and a questionable pick. This time, they trade up from 20-11. They get the guy that should have went to.
Yeah.
And Justin Fields with a lot more to that resume. And how about another thing for him, how he played after getting just absolutely busted in the chops by Clemson in that game.
Good call.
The guts on that dude.
That's a great point. All right,
I just want to know why he fell.
I don't know.
Like Randy just texted in, sorry, boys, Justin fell for a reason. What is the reason?
Well, he answers it with another Ohio State quarterback that fails. I don't know. I mean,
fails where?
In the NFL.
But I mean, they haven't really done well, right? I'm saying, like, right. What is the reason that he fell?
I don't know, but I think that's what Randy's saying. Okay. In other words, that, you know, this is, you know, you had Cordell Jones, you had, I don't know, help me out here.
Braxton Miller, Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah. None of them have really excelled in the NFL. So I think if Randy's point is that, then that's fair. But yeah, I mean, listen, who knows? Justin Fields, like you guys have said, was probably, in my mind, the second best quarterback in here. Part of that, albeit, is that I didn't see a lot of Zach Wilson. I saw one game of Zach Wilson. So it's hard. And I saw a lot more of Justin Fields in 2 years in the Big Ten. So I will admit to that. But certainly, I think it's incredible. We got about 30 seconds. Real quick, is he your day one starter?
He won't be, but I'll be counting the days.
Okay. You don't think they will?
It'll be week six. I don't know.
Oh,
Nagy did show a quick trigger last year.
Probably week Foles. Two. Or halftime of one.
It won't be soon enough.
Yes.
And it won't be day one, but it'll happen some point next year.
Okay. Trevor, would he be your day one starter?
Yes.
Not would he be, will he be?
No.
Okay. Okay.
The Red Rifle is your day one starter.
Red Rifle, back Green 40! Andy Dalton in the house. Well, guess who knows a lot about this? Aaron Lemming, writer for the Bear Report. Nice enough to join us Thursday and now today. When we come back, we'll break it all down with Lemming. It is The Drop.